Hello and welcome to another episode of the Never a Straight Answer podcast, the podcast that aims to cover a wide range of topics from conspiracy theories to popular culture and news. I'm your host Gaz, and joining me in the studio, well, it said he was voted the award of Class of 2065 for most likely to travel in time. All I know is my co-host is Mr. Taylor.
Oh yes, oh yes, I wish I was true after time travel.
Does that mean you're from the future, Mr. Taylor?
Yeah, that's why I've come back. And
like, and now you're imparting your knowledge on us. That's good. Because this week, it's a time travel time travel episode.
Oh,
time travel story.
Do love
a time travel story. Well, yeah, anyway, thank you and welcome to the show.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you for joining us for another mind-altering, subliminal message receiving show.
Whether
you're a new listener or a repeat offender, you're always welcome along. Thank you for joining us for this week. We're back to full strength.
We are.
Yeah, everything's back online, if you were wondering. If you don't know, check out last week's show. I don't know if that was a result of, but like for some reason we got like not many people listening last week. But it was an interesting one, a bit personal as well, I found. But anyway, this week we're going to be talking about the fascinating case of Sergei Pomarenko, who was the Ukrainian photographer and possible time traveler. We'll be taking a look at one of maybe the most compelling time travel story you're likely to find in the past, present, or future.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, thank you. Do you know what I mean? I do work on this stuff. Yeah. It's not like I come in half-assed or anything like that. I do have some semblance of... Anyway, you're just ruining it now. You're ruining the magic and mystique.
Oh, the mystique.
Anyway, if you don't know what time travel is, where have you been? Time travel is a concept of moving between points in time, moving between different points of time and space.
Mainly forward.
Backwards.
We're trying to work it out if we can do it backwards, aren't we?
Here's a question for you. I've got a couple of questions for you, but right? If the past's a past and the future's the future, but every second you're moving into the future, and every second you move into the future, the past is being created, then I submit to you that the present actually doesn't exist.
Oh, so you're going down, I suppose, the route of the zero numbers.
Yeah, because, I mean, how can the present exist if the future's always moving forward and the past's always being created behind it? There's no wiggle room, is there, really? So I submit to you and the listeners that the present is not really... It's a non-existent concept.
So you're saying, In a way, it has to be because there is something in front and something in behind. So you have to be the one in between.
You're in the moment, right? But the moment is...
Even if it's a thin layer.
The moment is forever fleeting into the future and being... you know what I mean? This is the thing. I mean, you can have a think about it. Don't try and like just argue the toss right now. Have a think. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. What do you reckon?
Well, you might be right.
I could be right.
You could
sometimes
be.
Sometimes. Here's one for you. Second question, time travel related.
Yeah.
Right. So if you had a vehicle that was traveling at the speed of light, and you then turn the headlights on,
would the lights...
What would happen? What would happen in that instance?
I believe
nothing. Are you traveling at the speed of light, and then you switch the main beams on? You're projecting that light. Because the light is actually, you know, traveling at the speed of light.
Yeah.
So therefore, at the moment when you switch it on, so would that little extra boost of light project you faster than the speed of light?
Well, if in theory, if there is any kind of light that comes out of it, then there has to be something faster than light.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would open up the answer to the question, is there anything faster than light? Even though, like, a couple of years ago, they thought they actually found something else that was faster by an experiment, and it ended up being an error. So nothing is faster than light.
So they thought they had it, but then they went, oh, imagine having to be that scientist who went, I found it. Oh, yeah. No, I haven't.
Yeah. Oh. They made a big hooey over it.
Shit.
Well. Yeah.
Sorry.
Let's go and have a party. You
Let's
know,
pretend,
spend all that
can
money.
I pretend I never found it?
Yeah, we haven't found shit, man.
Anyway, I found some good things this week. What did you find? Have you had a nice week? Have you done anything interesting?
Just working and looking into how to get out of the system.
Out of the system?
Yeah.
Go off grid?
Yeah.
I always thought, going off grid sounds like a really nice idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there was an instance where we all went, back to, primitive ways of living, do you know, it wouldn't be so bad. I think most people would be a lot happier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there's a really old law where it states that you can buy a property, which is, let's say, an acre is roughly around about 10 grand at the minute, and then build a building on there, and maybe a little shack or something. As long as you're living in there for 4 years, the authorities can't touch you, they can't fine you, you can't get taxed.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, I understand this does happen because you don't need money to spend. You do, because you still need like materials to build your house. But what I'm getting at is
that you build that.
There's loopholes around building properties without getting planning permission and stuff where they bale hay bales up.
Yeah,
right,
on
the
land.
And then they build behind it. And then as long as, you know, like you say, if they're living in it for 4 years or whatever, then they go, I've been here for ages. And, they take the hay bales down then because, they can't be touched. I think that's the law. I do remember watching something on it.
Yeah,
I think the
really
house in this particular thing, though, they got sussed out and they had to knock it down. So it was a case
of
they were trying to build a castle behind these hay bales, and they were like, whoa, what are you doing? Because there was like turrets coming up beyond them.
Well,
you know what I mean? It was like a fucking Disney themed castle.
Well, if he'd thought about it rightly, he should have built something smaller. Then it's not in any eyesore or anything like that, no attention to it. And then after the 4 years, can do what he fucking wants with that land. He could build all on that
build
land, and he couldn't do shit about it.
I've actually got. I think didn't we talk about this a while ago? But I actually ran a competition a long time ago about. I own a square foot of land in Scotland.
Yes.
Like, do you know? They basically can buy them. Yeah, like as a gift.
I was actually thinking of doing that.
Well, somebody got me a square foot of land, and I've got the deed for it and everything. So I was like trying to come up with ideas for what to do with my square foot of land.
Yeah.
And some people coming up with some brilliant ideas. Do you know,
like what?
Well,
you could
plant a flag. You could put a statue of yourself. No height restrictions.
Hey, that's true.
You could,
ladder to space.
You could build like a ladder, a big ladder to space. Yeah. You could basically build a really narrow block of flats. What else? There's plenty of things you could do. Put a little allotment on it.
Windmill.
A windmill.
A
solar panel.
Yeah.
Do you know? I mean, there's infinite possibilities what to do with your square foot land. So you never know.
Airbnb,
stay on the smallest plot of land known to man.
That's true. And you should be known as a lord as well.
I am actually,
you're a lord.
I am known as a lord.
Yeah.
Which does lord come C. with a laird, actually. It's a Scottish landowner's a laird, and that title does come with the land, you're right. Because I've often wondered what title comes with the moon plots, because you can buy moon plots.
Yeah.
And you can buy an acre. It's not just a square foot. You can buy an acre of moon.
I'll tell you what else.
And you know, that's my moon. And then when, you know, the property moguls move up there and they're all trying to build and buy real estate on the moon, they got to come to you because you own an acre or two of moon.
That's true. That is true.
It's like, come on, my prime moon estate.
But I found another piece of legislation as well. Which was to do with...
Come on.
It's the money. I've just gone blank on it, to be honest. I've just gone dead.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I had just had it there, but then I was listening to what you were saying.
He was thinking too much about the money.
Yeah.
Like, I went to see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, that was good.
Is it? I haven't seen it yet.
No, you've not seen it yet. I've seen it twice.
Been waiting.
It was very good. It was a perfect roundup to the trilogy.
Yeah.
My opinion, best trilogy in the Marvel series. Most original. And the thing about the Guardians of the Galaxy is you don't need to have watched all the other Marvel movies to just appreciate it.
It is
very kind of heartwarming. And I would go as far as to say, like, this generation's Star Wars in terms of, like, you know, a great space mover. Yeah. And
they need to bring, what was that program they had on for ages? Shield.
Oh, Shield. Shield was good. I mean, I think, I don't know what they're going to do with that, but I mean, whether they finished it.
I want to do more.
Maybe, because it's all Disney Plus now, isn't it? But I mean.
And it all interconnects as well. But again, and it gives a good.
I feel like with the Guardians and stuff, even stuff like Shield, when you've not got.
Like a piece of string.
A bit of foreknowledge about it. So, Spider-Man. You know what to expect out of Spider-Man. So when you see a Spider-Man movie or a Superman movie or a Batman movie, you're a bit kind of like, well, kind of know what I'm getting. Whereas you see something that's quite original, you go in with no expectations, then I feel like you can enjoy the movie a lot better. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because you're not kind of going in going, oh, it best be as good as the last one. Well, I mean, in this case, you might be because it's a sequel, but like, generally, from a property, from the first Guardians, I mean, like when you go to see the first one, people were like, don't know what to expect out of this. Let's see what happens. And no, do you know what? Brilliant. And so,
my,
yeah.
My brother is into sci-fi, but he likes them because they have them little funny parts.
It gets you in the feels. Yeah. It's really good characters.
Good music.
And the direction on the film itself, James Gunn, who directed the whole trilogy, won't be working on Marvel movies from now on. He's actually been picked up as kind of like the head honcho at DC. So he's going to be making DC movies from now on.
That's kind of changing at the
and
moment.
And be like the Kevin Feige of DC, doing a DC Cinematic Universe. And to be honest, he's probably a really good choice to kind of tie it all together, because that's what DC were really lacking in a lot of ways.
Yeah. But do you reckon then Marvel are going to actually be a bit poorer now, depending
without
on who
James
they're going to
get? Definitely. And some people are even saying that, you know, this means, like, you know, the DCU is going to be even better.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it could be like the downfall of Marvel in some way.
So
we'll see what happens with that. Other than that, weather's been really nice this week.
It's been all right.
Sorted out all the hacking stuff, which was great. And that's pretty much what I've been doing up this week. Bit of work and stuff. So, yeah.
Sweet.
Definitely. So, did you remember what you were going to be talking about then at all?
No, I'm still here trying to think of what I was saying. I was getting up to the landownership.
You're freaking stoner.
It's something to do with money and how you can get something cheaper.
Oh.
Basically, not spend as much money as you want, as they want you to.
As who wants you to?
The system.
Well, basically, everybody's trying to push it and make your empty bank balance, aren't they, at the moment? If you would like to help the show, you can get over to Patreon. Patreon is a platform that helps us basically progress and kind of like develop the show a bit more.
Yeah.
If you don't know what it is, there'll be a link in the description. You can sign up in a few different tiers. So you can sign up as like a entry level, which is about £1, £1.99 a month, up to about a fiver.
Yeah.
And it accesses you extra content, bits and pieces, and, you know, a bit more kind of like interaction with us.
Yeah.
It helps us, like I say, progress and develop the show. So if you could check it out, we'd be much appreciated. You can also go over to the website where there's other ways to help, as well as a contact page where you can contact us if you have any questions.
Yes,
so
please.
Do check it out.
Check it out, without a doubt.
As well, this week's episode is in part brought to you by Audible.
Oh, yes.
So Audible's, we're offering a trial offer, so you can get over to Audible and get a trial offer. New customers can try an audiobook and make the most of every moment.
Oh, yeah.
With the trial, customers will receive one free audiobook.
Ooh, Yeah.
It's a sexy little audiobook you can listen to and keep, even if you cancel. Prime customers will receive 2 audiobooks in their trial, with the ability to choose from the world's largest selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, new releases, sci-fis, romances, mysteries, classics, and more.
It is too big to handle.
After 30 days, you will receive a book every month for just $7.99, and it renews automatically. But you can cancel any time, and you don't lose your business. You don't lose your books.
Yeah.
So
get for life.
We'll try and find something, stick it in there, which might be a nice little recommendation. I'm sure
there's some time travel in
definitely some time travel
just
info
a little
out
bit.
There. talking about time travel, we definitely have got a great show, because this is one of the best time travel stories I've ever come across. In terms of wow, do you know? You know me, I like a good time travel story. I love John Titor. I feel like, and we talked about this earlier, right, when there's a resurgence in a story. So, the original story happens and it was amazing. Right.
Then we
kind of forget about it for a bit, and then somebody else comes along and goes, oh, I'm back. Yeah. And it's me. It was the same guy. And it's like there's so many differences, and it's not the same sort of vibe to it, and you can just tell that it's someone trying to get in on it,
yeah,
potentially. I feel like that John Titor was one in particular. Tonight we're going to be talking about Sergio Pomarenko, who was he's an infamous Ukrainian time traveler. He's arguably the most, believable time travel story out there.
Yeah, one of the most followed and trying to get the answers to the puzzle of it.
Well, there's been a lot of kind of people talking about it as well. So there's been videos cropping up. There's a lot of TikTok activity about it. The name Sergei Pomarenko is kind of getting out there. He's basically gone down as one of the most infamous cases of its kind, and it centers around the city of Kiev in Ukraine back in 2006. So the story starts with Sergei getting ready. He's got a day off. He's going out to take some photos. Now, bear in mind, this is in 1950, it's around 1950, early 1950s, isn't it? I think it was definitely 56-ish, because it was about 50 years.
I think it was 58.
Well, I'm going to take your word for that, because I can't actually find you the actual date, but, you know, we'll find you. I'll get to that, right? So... Yeah. He always loves trying to go, no, it's not, right? Anyway, do you know what I'm saying? Right, yeah. Anyway, right, so he's getting ready. It's 1950-something, mid-1950s, for argument's sake, right?
Yeah.
And he's got a day off. He wants to go out and take some photographs, right? Now, he's got a pretty kind of, fancy camera for the time. It's a dual-lensed 120 film kind of flex camera, right? Yeah. These cameras at the time would have been quite expensive, but he's got one, right? Yeah. And he wants to go out and take some photos. So he's gone out on the streets of Kiev and he started taking photos of the local scenery, the local architecture, pictures of himself doing a bit of selfie action.
Yeah.
Trying to get, some good snaps, right?
Yeah, as you would.
So he's walking around the streets of Kiev, which he's obviously been brought up in.
He knows the area. So he knows it, yeah.
And he's suddenly sees something in the sky that he can't really explain. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think he's seen?
It's a UFO, isn't it?
Has he seen a UFO, right?
Yeah.
So this is, he claims that he's seen a bell-shaped object in the sky.
Which, as soon as you hear that, I thought straight away, the Glocken. which is the German for bell, which when we raided Germany, there was a supposedly a bell there and it disappeared. So it's something to do with time travel.
So do you think the bell is like a human invention, like it's developed by the Nazis, or do you think it could be like an alien craft of some description? Because and was there some sort of link with the German bell and time travel?
Well, yeah, totally. There was supposed to be a mirror on top of it where Hitler was looking into the future. It disappeared around about 1944, and it reappeared in 1974 in Pennsylvania, I believe, where something of that object had crashed into the ground, and the army straight to it.
So the US government have the Glocken, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they actually know how it works as well.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's to do with putting protons and neutrons inside and speeding up around, you know, inside the bell.
So that's basically like a Hadron Collider.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. But not hitting each other, but they make something to actually...
Well, he's obviously not a physicist, are you, Taylor?
No.
So, yeah.
No.
Well, what I was going to say is, you know, so you're thinking that this could be... I mean, even if the Germans had it, doesn't necessarily mean they developed it. Yeah. So they could have just acquired it somehow and knew how to use it. And then, like you say, it's fell into American hands in some case.
Yeah, the Americans.
We don't know whether this was alien technology or human technology. I mean, as far as I know, you know, this is quite an advanced leap.
We were so close to losing it, so, you know, because he advanced right near the end.
Had a time machine,
so
though, you would basically, like, be able to kind of go back and fix it. Jim will fix it.
But it was a story of one of his generals, and his general's wife, who was a part of a witch cult, where.
Come on, you can't say it.
They don't cut the hair.
Right. Okay.
And supposedly had gone into it, and then it had, like, disappeared.
He was definitely into the occult. Hitler. You know, so. Acquiring objects of power potentially is something that I wouldn't put past.
And they even know roughly where it was actually.
So let's forget the fact that, you know, this was seen during the Second World War. Mm. This was almost a decade later.
Yeah.
Right. So you say it disappeared from Germany. Right.
In about 44.
It disappears, yeah, and then all of a sudden, a similar object seen by this guy, Sergei, in the Ukraine, which at the time was part of the Soviet Union.
Yeah,
right?
Which makes it interesting because there is certain eyewitnesses of seeing the Glocken in certain areas, but this one, I find this one a bit more interesting because... of the time travelling within it.
Although there's no actual evidence to suggest that it was the Glocken that saw that day. Yeah. It could have been a UFO, yeah. He describes it as a bell-shaped object, but also we have seen in the past evidence of kind of sightings of bell-shaped and sort of teardrop-shaped objects, resemble even like your flying saucers.
Yeah.
Moving at a speed. If you don't see, you know, if you just see kind of it on an angle and it's got a dome top and a flat bottom, then you might describe it as a bell. All Sergei knew that it was that he'd saw something in the sky and with him having his camera on him, he was going to take a picture of this. Right. So he says that he rose his camera up to take the picture.
Yeah.
And when he took the photo and turned around, he was suddenly in a city that he didn't recognize anymore. Like, he was in Kiev, but it didn't look like Kiev. It was very different. There was a lot of different people that he didn't recognize how they were dressed. He didn't recognize some of the buildings.
Yeah, yeah.
He's dressed in like 1950s, you know, attire.
Yeah.
His camera's like, you know, super antique now today's standards. Yeah, yeah. And he found himself in 2006, Kiev. Yeah, right.
Bit of a distance.
So confused and a bit kind of like, you know, worried, bit scared. He starts wandering around the streets. Yeah. And he's actually trying to find a certain street. Yeah,
that's right.
So he's asking people. He's asking people, do you know this street? Can you point me in the right direction? Some people say there's some police there. Go and have a word with them.
Yeah, so fuck off away from me and go and have a word with them instead.
So he goes over to the police. He has a chat, and they say, you know, he's explained, I'm a bit disorientated. I'm trying to find my way to this place.
Yeah.
And the police inform him that this street hasn't existed for a long time, yeah? And, you know, they want to kind of know what this guy's, you know, situation is, so they ask him to see his ID.
Mm.
So, as, you know, he's not going to kind of, like, refuse. He pulls his ID out and he shows it to the police officers, yeah?
Yeah.
When they look at the ID, they discover that it is dated 1950, 1956 or 1953 or whatever.
In 1932, he was born.
He was born in the 1938. Yeah, right. So he was born in 1938. I've got his birth certificate in front of me.
I'm just thinking because he was 58 before.
So he's basically produced his ID.
Hmm.
And showing it to the officers.
Yeah.
And they're, like, looking at it as his birthday.
Gobsmacked.
Thinking this guy should be, like, in his 70s by now.
Easy.
But they're standing looking at a man in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
The photograph on the ID matched his.
Yeah.
And the ID was a genuinely issued ID from in the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Yeah. An ID that was issued to youngsters or young adults in the Soviet Union when the Ukraine was part of that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is like starting to get, you know, like this, they go, you know, he's kind of suggesting to these police officers that, you know, there's something not right here and he's potentially needs investigating. So obviously they take him into custody.
Yeah, yeah, you can't.
And he tells a story and they're kind of like, no, we have a chat with our friends in white coats over here. They'll help you out. And they've basically took him in to interview him, right? Now, this is where it gets weird because there's actually video footage of this guy, right, who is genuinely looks like really worried. He's kind of like, you know, stressed out to be in this new environment. His eyes are everywhere. He's looking around like...
Especially mobile phone, apparently.
Well, he was looking at a lot of the technology, right?
Well, the mobile phone was a proper weird one for him.
Well, I can understand, wouldn't it just be?
That's true.
From someone in the 50s to
seeing like Star Trek,
yeah, it's like super futuristic.
Yeah.
So he's basically been sent to this doctor's place, like doctor's office, to speak to this psychiatrist or like, you know, doctor to assess him, basically.
Yeah.
And he's given him the story and he said, look, I was just taking photos. I'm out on the streets of Kiev.
Join on, you know, drugs, son.
Well, that's what you'd think, wouldn't you? They'd be like, oh, is this a mental health thing? Is this a, you know, a drugs thing, alcohol thing? You know, but this guy is dressed in kind of like outdated clothes, right? He's carrying outdated technology.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. He looks fresh, right?
Not like it's been in a closet for years.
Exactly, right? All of his ID is perfectly like preserved, but they would argue were a legit IDs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the film in his camera, these photography experts who'd say, you know, the film in his camera, the specific brand he used went out of business in 1970. Even if he had some of the film from then, it would have expired long ago.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have got anywhere near the quality of images that they did get out of the camera. In fact, you know, the camera, you know, itself was in pristine condition.
Immaculate, supposedly, like, so near enough brand new.
So all these kind of factors kind of made them think a little that this guy seems a bit kind of... It's a bit of a strange story.
Weird.
It might not be...
It might not be Napoleon
Well, it's not going to be, like, you know, something where...
Complex.
Well, a Napoleon complex is thinking that you're Napoleon. Like, but you know,
he might be thinking he's a time traveler and he isn't. That's where
I suppose all right then. Like, where he's got delusions. Rather than this guy having delusions, maybe there is something to what he's saying. So he gets to the part where he's, you know, talking about this bell that he's seeing in the sky.
Yeah.
This spaceship or, you know, flying craft, which he says was like nothing he's ever seen before. Yeah. And he took a picture of it. So
as you would.
He's turned around to the doctors and said, look, I can't describe it. Yeah, right. What I saw, it's something that I can't even describe, yeah, but I took a photo of it, so maybe you should go and check the images on the camera, right? When they developed the film, like I say, they took it to a photography expert, who assessed the film, said the film, like I say, went out of business in 1970. The film that he had was like he bought it yesterday. It was brand new, right?
Banky brand new.
The images on the camera, were all from 1950, mid-1950s Kiev, right, of the buildings and the architecture and the sort of ambience of the city, right? There was selfies of him and his girlfriend.
That's right.
In the, you know, on the camera. There was pictures of him.
A number of pictures.
In these 1950s, you know, versions of the city, And then finally, there was a picture of a bell-shaped UFO.
Yes, that's right.
Above the streets of Kiev, right?
Well, I actually thought one of the pictures that it was actually shown, it reminded me of, you remember the JFK assassination? And he had this picture of Oswald.
Yeah, he does look like Lee Harvey Oswald. Yeah, I'll give you that.
But the background and it just proper looked like it just wasn't. It was right.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't right. You know. Well, if you know what I mean.
They've had to kind of acknowledge the fact that this guy is telling the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, everything about his story is stacking up. Yeah. Right. Yeah. He's then been kind of asked to go back to his room while they kind of assess this information. Yeah.
I.e. a little cell.
A little cell with a little room, with a little bed, and there was no way out, no way in. You know, well, one way in, no way out, right?
Yeah.
He's got guards posted outside the door. His windows have got cast iron bars on.
Yeah.
Right? And he vanished.
It's just like that.
Right. Now, going back to him being in the clinic. Yeah, right. Like I said earlier, he was fascinated with the technology.
Yeah.
Right.
So
there was actually video surveillance or CCTV footage of him
moving around in that area.
You know, just waiting around, waiting to be seen by the doctor and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And like you say, he was obsessed with the technology. He was asking members of staff about the phones. He was asking about the microwave oven when he was like actually really quite amazed how you could prepare a meal in just a minute,
which he played it right. Somebody from the 50s
who's like, you know, come into this and he's being interviewed and he's taking it way serious. He's like, I don't know, this is definitely what happened to me.
Bang on the edge,
I think like he's definitely going to be soaking in all the things he doesn't recognize,
and
things that we take for granted as sort of like technological marvels, and you know, wouldn't you just be kind of like in awe of it all?
You'd be amazed at some of the technology, wouldn't you? Really?
Well, we were, like I said, we were saying earlier about like some of the photographs on the camera, were of him and his girlfriend at the time.
What was she
called again? Well, we can't remember her name. All the sources, it's not even that we can't remember it. All the sources were like really vague and sketchy on her name, to be honest. It was just always the woman or the wife or girlfriend. When they actually managed to track her down.
That's right.
The woman in the photograph. Mm-hmm. And they basically looked at for missing people reports, missing persons reports from 1958 onwards.
That's right.
Right. and they discovered that there was a man called Sergei who went missing around that time, and they found the woman who issued the missing persons report, which turned out to be the woman in the photograph.
That's right.
Yeah. When they went to visit her, they discovered that she corroborated it all because she had very similar photographs in her collection from that time. Yeah.
Bit spooky.
All showing the young man that they just met, wearing the same outfit, very similar clothing, like, you know, a woolen V-neck jumper, or like, you know, a sleeveless...
baggy trousers.
What are they called now? Like, those sort of tabard sort of...
I've got a tank top.
Yeah, wearing sort of like a tank top and like very kind of like period clothing, but he's wearing all the similar stuff in these photographs. It's very freaky.
It's
like
he hasn't changed.
Now, you know, he basically has disappeared, right?
Mm-hmm.
But obviously she put out a missing persons report, right?
Something
now,
like 2 days or one.
She reckons that he turned back up. A couple of days later.
That's right.
But he was convinced and told her this crazy story about he disappeared, he'd ended up in a strange land and all the rest of it. And there's even some audio footage of a man named Sergei on a futuristic program that was put out in the Soviet Union in the 1960s about the future technology and stuff like that, where this man was basically describing microwaves, describing telephones, mobile phones, things that he basically had a very keen interest in while he was under observation, while he was just in this office, psychiatrist office, I suppose.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was quizzing these people about it, but obviously... That itself is quite far-fetched. Now, going into the whys and the wherefores, do you think this was an alien abduction? Do you think it was a time travel? Did he skip through a vortex? Did he... The fact that he was returned back to his own place of origin suggests that it wasn't like some sort of like wormhole he'd stumbled into.
Yeah, it was purposely
It was something
gone.
Like he was picked up and put back down. And it reminds me of that movie Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah.
Do you know where the kid, he's picked up as a kid, he's taken off for experimentation, and when they bring him back, they're like, your body wouldn't have survived us taking you back, so we've brought you back 10 years, 20 years in the future, and everyone's older, and his life's not the same, and all the rest of it.
Fucks his life up,
and, and he wants to go back to his point of origin, do you know what I mean? And it kind of gives you that vibe. What do you think about the story in itself? Do you think it's got a lot of legs in terms of the evidence? He's got these photographs. Mm-hmm. It's got like evidence to back his story up. He's got ID from another time. He's got the clothing. The clothing matches.
I'm imagining the speak as well would be roughly back in that time instead of like now.
His lingo, his slang, like. Maybe. Do you think so? Like you mentioned the Glock earlier. So I mean, if that was in man control or like, you know, human control, that would suggest that it was picked up by somebody local, like a human or a wing of a government or somebody, you know, doing something using this technology. Not an alien presence, perhaps.
Yeah, but it was interesting at the timeline between 1944, when it supposedly disappeared, to 1974. That like, there's only a few that have them similarities to the Glocken anyway. But this one.
There's always a lot of reports of missing time and stuff like that, but I mean, like to this extent, it's quite significant amount of time, isn't it?
It does interpret it to me that if it is true that he was taken, he went somewhere else in the solar system at the speed of light, and then they brought him back. He hasn't changed, but obviously the world has, and dropped him back. The wrong timeline, but then come back because they realised, or because it is kind of funny.
Well, maybe,
to me.
maybe by dropping him in the wrong timeline, they're exposing themselves because obviously, where did this guy come from? These questions. And he had a photograph.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that says to me, if you do kind of, don't be taking pictures of UFOs, because you might get fucking beamed up.
Yeah, it just sort of clarifies something else to me about, like, how they seem to know every move that we make individually.
You've said this before in terms of, like, when you take a photo of or point your technology up at the skies at these things, they seem to rather evade you, or your technology breaks down, you get some sort of, like, malfunction in your camera, or, like, something. Yeah, I get where you're coming from with that.
And it's kind of, it's one of them that, like, there are a certain amount of people around the world that are being picked up, supposedly, and, like, played with. You know, like sort of like what we do, or what we used to do, still do now, I suppose, with animals, you know, even if they're injured. Because there is reports of, Travis Walton, where he believes, which is possible, that the reason they took him was because they hurt him with the first beam. So the second beam was to bring him up, fix him, put him back, wipe his memory, go back to normal.
So what, you think these sort of entities have some sort of compassion towards us and they don't mean us any harm, so... You know,
we best
put them back where they belong, and, you know, fix them up if we hurt them.
Well, you're messing up the...
We'll give them an anal probe, but we'll make sure they go home with a smile on the face, with a little hamper.
Yeah, that's it. You're messing up the stock, you know what I mean? You've got to control your stock.
Well, I don't know. Well, the idea of time travel in this instance, I mean, like, you know, this guy he's definitely found himself... out of time, he's found himself in a place that he doesn't recognize. Taking advantage of that technology, he seems like quite a bright lad.
Yeah,
you know, I wonder if he ever, you know, invested that knowledge into something fantastic.
One of the billionaires around that.
Well, there was another side to it, which, I mean, again, I said about, you know, when they tack things on at the end.
Yeah.
So apparently, these rumors that he disappeared again in the 1970s.
That's right.
And he sent his wife a photograph.
Yeah.
That showed him quite a bit older with a moustache. And he was stood in front of a skyline of a city with loads of really impressive skyscrapers.
Yeah.
And he said, "This is Kiev in 2050.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and he would be back soon, which suggests, again, this is the thing that cripples it for me, because now it's saying, oh, this man's got control of his time travel abilities. Yeah, right. And he can go.
Yeah, since first time it was a mistake.
First time was a mistake or by accident. Yeah. He didn't know how it happened and didn't know what happened.
Are they playing with us?
This time round, he's saying, I've been sent to the future again, and but this time I know I'll be back soon, which he never did. He never came back, right?
Yeah.
But one thing I will glean from that bit of information is he was stood in front of this amazingly developed city, right, of Kiev, right, yeah. Now, with what's going on at the moment, you know, this was a story back from 2006, not a lot going on and kind of discussion about, you know, the Ukraine back then as much. But, you know, now we're saying in 2050... the Ukraine, Kiev's going to be this big metropolis of high skyscrapers and all the rest of it, which is actually not within the realms of, you know, that's well within the realms of possibility, considering, you know, it's going to be developed at some point and there's going to be a lot of money being put into, you know, creating this new structure of Kiev and, like, how it's going to look in the future. And
true, but
maybe there's some maybe if we look at future photographs of Kiev alongside this photo, that's going to back that story up even more or dismiss it. There's going to be certain angles where you'll be able to line that photo up with the man with the moustache and say definitively that's the same skyline. Do you know what I mean?
But the answer to that, I reckon, will be no. And the reason why is because if you have a look in there, if you have a look in the picture, the Eiffel Tower's in the picture.
It's not the Eiffel Tower, though.
No, there's an Eiffel Tower in the centre of the city.
Well, how do you know that they've not kind of been, and gone and created something like that? There's an Eiffel Tower in Las Vegas.
Because in
do you know
the
what I mean?
Same.
And how do you know? We've got Blackpool Tower, which people mistake for Eiffel Tower. Towers are towers. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You can't... You're just saying that's Eiffel Tower, right?
Well, no, but this is what the
I need
people
to have a look
at
that
photograph.
I'll have a look at that photograph and tell you.
Even in the same picture, the picture of his face with his collar at the side is actually taken off another picture as well that they've seen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right, okay. So you're saying... So this is what I'm saying, right?
I'm not saying it's false.
When the original story's got legs and then these tacked on bits at the end,
it's
like, oh yeah, well he came back and he went away again. And this is what I'm saying. It's like, now you're trying to say he's got full control of his time travel abilities. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's able to travel to the future of a future that where he's like, you know, able to not only... visit, but take photographs and send back to his wife.
And if it was UFOs, why would they take him to the future?
How would she
and
receive
why
that
didn't
photo?
You bring him
is
back?
It like time travel? His wife, where he puts it in a mailbox and then she gets it.
Yeah, something
the
like
other
2021.
End. Bullshit.
Like that. Yeah,
yeah. So I don't buy that bit. Yeah, right. So up until that point where you know he goes back to night, he's
that's
there's
more
video
plausible.
Evidence. There's evidence of the other people will back this up. Mm. Yeah. These medical professionals, these police, that will tell you that he was in the room with no way of escaping and he fucking vanished, right? Yeah. He turned back up at home. Yeah. The same amount of length of time that he was missing for was how long he was missing for at home. And he turned back at home a couple of days later. And told his wife this crazy story. Do you know what I mean?
Well, there were some mixed matches as well because the police said it happened on a Tuesday. The video monitor said it was on a Wednesday. And actually, if you look on the date,
well, this is
now
it because,
it's on a Sunday.
Because he was having a drink with Craig David on the Monday.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And
he
then
a busy
he,
man.
Took her for, he took her for a meal on a Tuesday. And then he was time traveling Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
That's
back home for Saturday, Sunday.
Well, that's it. He was just busy.
Well, he was a busy man. Well, what do you guys think? It's an interesting one. I think it's full of holes, but full of kind of like compelling time travel amazingness.
Yeah.
Do you think that it was, a branch of the government using the Glocken to abduct people and put them back in the wrong time period? Who knows?
Or the aliens, I'm saying.
Wouldn't you think, though, if we had access to this sort of technology that, like, things would be noticeably changing? Although, you know, people could argue this Mandela effect could be, like, something to do with people changing the timeline. And some people are remembering more than others.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it could be. It could be a massive thing that we're not actually noticing.
You know, slight things, butterfly effect and all that. Well, get in touch if you've got something to add. If you can find out his girlfriend's name, I'll give you a pound.
Yeah.
I'll give you a whole pound.
I can't believe, it's just one of them names. I don't know
why. What
was
she called? Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, that's it. Jeffrey Stevens.
It's all good. right, well, get in touch if you've got any questions, queries about the topic this week. If you've got any other time travel-y stories that we might be interested in,
I'd
love to hear about them.
I know you would.
Or if you are a time traveler yourself,
please come on.
We'd love to come on the show.
Yeah.
You've got to be compelling. We will vet you before we allow you on the airwaves. But, you know,
we will verbally torture you.
Nah, I want to know, man. If you're a time traveler, if you've invented a time machine.
Yeah.
Give us a shout.
Yeah.
Or maybe you already have in the future or past.
Yeah.
Well.
Could be. You never know.
Time travel. It's something that I'd love to do.
I think everyone would.
Everyone would love to time travel for one reason or another.
Even if it was 5 minutes ago.
Tell us what your reasons would be by sending us a comment or an email. What would you do to time travel? What would you do if you were a time traveler?
Yeah,
be interesting
if you
to
were
know.
In control
we'll just get loads of people going to kill Hitler, kill Hitler.
Yeah, but then
smother
that
him
been,
as a baby.
That could have been the worst thing to do.
Oh, I know, maybe.
Yeah.
So could be
I'd like
else
to find
worse
out what the fucking future brings us, to be honest.
Anyway, well, we've got some news.
We have.
With the future past. This is the past, but, you know, with the future news. I tell you what the future has got to bring us before we get into the news. Appreciation days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, you know, just because, you know, there's a lot of shit going on in the world. Did you realise there's an appreciation day virtually every day?
Yeah.
And do you know what today is?
Wash your car day?
Well, yesterday, Sunday, was National Dance Like a Chicken Day.
Dance? Oh,
today,
right. Missed that one.
Monday,
yeah.
Would be Bring Somebody Some Flowers Day, National Straw Hat Day, oh, and National Chocolate Chip Day.
Oh, right. So we can have chocolate chips tomorrow then?
Yeah, you can have today. You can
well,
have them.
Wearing,
yeah,
wearing a
tomorrow,
straw
head. It's National Piercing Day, National Mimosa Day, yeah, and National Waiters Day.
All right. Oh,
so give you that, tip your waiters,
yeah,
everybody.
Tip your waiters well.
And have a mimosa.
Yeah.
Get, order a mimosa and then tip your waiter for it. Say,
with the mimosa.
Well, maybe.
You
yeah, you can
tip,
pass
mate
it on.
Yeah.
Totally. enjoyable. So, you know what I mean? Take some time to appreciate the finer things in life.
Well,
is what
yeah
I'm getting at. Enjoy yeah the National Appreciation Days. Well, anyway, like I say, we've got the news and it's coming up right now. It's the news! I'm a bit wounded. I missed Dance Like a Chicken Day.
I
didn't dance like a chicken at all.
I would have done that. I did it the other day.
Did you do it? Oh, it's a day early.
Yeah, I know. I was getting in preparation for it.
Preparation.
No,
Preparation H.
Yeah.
Well, the news has not been disappointing this week. There's been some eventful things happening around town.
Oh, yeah, they're right.
Not around to my town, but maybe around yours.
Yeah, probably.
There's a couple of people being found in freezers.
Freezers?
Freezers. And this
okay
one is, this is
well
a right side, you know, I was going to say, he sounds like a right psycho, but
yeah
he sounds a bit like Norman Bates. Yeah. The son who kept his dad alive, well, dead dad alive, dead dad in a freezer. His dad was 101 years old. I don't know if he was carrying on aging him.
When did, well, yeah, was that one when he died or was he 70 when he died?
He
so
he kept,
no, him, for kept
him for 30 years, maybe. I don't know. Well, he's 101. He'd been kept in a freezer so he could talk to him.
Yeah, that's a bit lonely.
I mean,
yeah,
that
yeah
is a bit Norman Bates, isn't it? So, you know,
yeah,
there was apparently a similar situation in Limburg in 2015 when a body of a 91-year-old woman was found in a home. She shared with her son. She had died 2 years earlier, and the son was basically keeping her in the finger. He'd ordered to pay back 40,000 in pension money that he'd been scamming
off
over
oh
the 2 year
shit
period. So that's a bit crazy, isn't it?
Bit desperation.
I'm just, wanting,
as well,
I'm just lonely.
Yeah.
But then in Louisiana, police have found a woman's body in a walk-in freezer in an Arby's.
I'll tell you what, the business is for freezers in America at the minute.
They're smashing it, aren't they?
The
I mean, an Arby's, though, is a local, like a fast food chain, or an Arby's, basically a restaurant, which is a chain restaurant.
Right, like a Mackey's.
Yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, Arby's is something that's, you know, like quite distinct to America.
Yeah.
Have you ever eaten at Arby's? Let me know. I wonder what the food's like.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Do they actually serve?
Well,
yeah,
it's on. I think it's kind of like one of those.
Broccoli,
you know,
or
a bit like Little Chef.
Yeah. Yeah well, come on. No one wants a Little Chef.
Does a bit of everything. Do
yeah
you know what I mean? Like, but no, nah, Little Chef were all right. But
oh,
basically,
stinking,
authorities
man
in Louisiana are investigating the suspicious death after a body was found in a walk-in freezer at Arby's restaurant in New Ibria.
Right.
So the police have said that, you know, the it was a female victim, was an employee at the restaurant. So they're looking at the cause of death. It's not yet been determined.
So it could have been murder or accidental.
Yeah, well, like I say, if you sell freezers...
Well, yeah, you
smashing
you know,
it at the minute.
You definitely smashing it at the minute.
Well, have you seen anything There's been some incidents this week.
Oh, yes, there has. Have you seen... do you know how to sink a $3 billion submarine?
With a $10 million missile, probably.
No. Well, the Indian Navy found out as soon as he put it in the ocean.
Why did it have a hole in it?
No, but someone left the port.
One of the holes open. Silly boys. He left the port all open.
Yeah, and it sank like a fucking brick.
That's advice for any Navy, really. In fact, that's... Who puts a porthole on a submarine?
I know.
Windows on a submarine?
I know. It's just mad. It's just mad, man. You know what I mean? But, you know, mistakes have been happening, but $3 billion.
Mistakes were made.
Yeah, that was...
Do you think the private involved or the skipper involved would have been reprimanded, sent to the brig?
Apparently it was a couple of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, yeah.
Did he open all the portholes?
No, just
as a prank,
one, apparently.
As a prank to see what had happened.
Well, yeah, you never know. You never know, you know what I mean? There are some comedians out there. Some good jokers.
It's like, I'll get us a day off work, lads. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah, I never wanted to go out to sea. I only wanted to join for the pay. Now I could go back on land.
For the camaraderie of my other fellow sailors at sea.
That's funny.
That's it. Basically, I found this story about an upset goat.
All right, what? How upset was this goat?
It sounds like a children's book, doesn't it? I've got a story about a children's book in a minute, actually. But this is the police were basically responding to a report of a person seemingly in distress and crying.
Right.
But when they arrived on the scene, they found that it was a very distressed and upset Oklahoma goat.
No way.
So the police officers in Oklahoma had rushed to the scene of a person who was crying for help in a fit of laughter after they discovered the individual crying for help was actually a very upset goat who had been separated from his friends.
Oh, what did you do with it? Shoot it in... Take it and have a meal later on.
I was like, I'm going to cornhole that goat.
Yeah, I'll take your pain away, son.
Goat was probably returned to its friends. It's probably the mascot now for Oklahoma police.
Hey, that's not a bad idea, right? You know?
Yeah. I will be your friends. Yeah, they love a mascot, don't they?
Oh, yeah. But I'll tell you what they don't love.
Go on.
Borders. Because in America from yesterday, the border... what was it? Action 42, I believe it is, has finished, which Trump put in to actually, stop all the migrants coming through and, like, you know, controlling it. But now there's no control of it, and they reckon that around about 10,000 plus a day are going to cross.
I've seen it. I've seen them all on the news. They were all just like bombarding the borders, weren't they?
Yeah.
I had a segue story, but you ruined it.
Now
it's hardly a segue because they had a children's book related story that I was going to follow up that one with. But I'll do it now. It's all good. This is a Utah woman who published a children's book about grief after a sudden death of a husband.
Yeah. All right, okay.
Which is, you'd think that would be a nice thing to do, wouldn't
nice
you? You think,
book,
you know,
yeah.
like that's a way she could cope with grief and obviously help
True
other
that.
People cope with grief
yeah.
in similar situations. She's now been charged with his murder.
Oh, shit.
So,
and she's earned off it as well.
Corey Richens, a mother of three, called the police late one night in March 2022 and said her husband, Eric, was cold to the touch. She told the authorities that she'd made her husband a mixed vodka drink before finding him unresponsive an hour later. When medical examiners later found Mr. Richards dead from an overdose, inquiry was set upon. They put out an inquiry about it. Later to find that it was actually her who'd administered it and basically poisoned him. She'd fixed him the vodka drink, and that's what they've determined was the how he got that drugs in his system. So
I would like to know how she slipped up though, if for a little while.
I'll give you a clue. She killed her husband.
Well, yeah, but she'd written a book and then, like, you know, she's made a profit.
Maybe that's
why
she was thinking that she this was a great little cover.
Could have been
something. Maybe it was, so she was, maybe she thought she got away with it and started
getting
a bit brave and putting clues in her books.
Yeah.
Like, I did it.
Yeah. Yeah, right at the end.
Or did I?
Yeah. Ooh. Question.
Yeah, maybe the book was about, like, you know, an abusive husband, and then she, you know, who eventually snaps and feeds the husband a tasty vodka drink.
A fantasy truth kind of...
yeah, book. Sort of like, you know, a confession of sorts. I don't know.
Ooh, yeah.
I think it was the fact that they found all these pills in his system and, you know, and found, like, you know, the time of death mixed with the time of kind of, like, administering of the drink.
And if you were going to do it, wouldn't you put insurance on him as well?
She probably did. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? These people.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You're going to murder someone. You don't do it for free, do you?
No, do you? You've got to get your pay, haven't you? You've got to get your due.
Have you seen this? What's happening in Texas?
Yeah.
Crazy America, isn't it?
It's
a lovely country, but I mean, there's a lot of weird shit going on. So Texas, they've basically requiring now schools to display the Ten Commandments in classrooms.
All the schools have got to do this.
Yeah, seems like it. In Texas. Now, I mean, I know they're very religious state, but, you know.
That's Jeremy Clarkson.
I mean... Maybe, do you know what, right? The Ten Commandments, out of all the religious stuff, is quite, it's like a little pocket guide, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things you keep in your wallet with, like, laminated, you know, like, just...
Oh, it won't go that far.
You know what I'm saying, like, that God does one, like, in his wallet, like...
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is, it's just like the basic... guide to living a good life, isn't it? Like, don't kill anyone, don't
morals,
do this. The morals, right?
Yeah, I'd say it's more morals.
Which I totally agree with.
Yeah, right? Same here.
So, I'm not sure if the Ten Commandments as a thing itself is a bad thing to have in your classroom, because it's teaching, well, no, these things that you should know anyway. Don't kill anyone, don't rob anyone, don't steal, you know, don't adulter, don't... Covenant or an ox or something, like, I don't know.
Don't sleep with an animal.
Don't sleep with a donkey.
Defile your next door's.
Don't worship false idols.
Yeah.
Like pop idols and that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You don't want none of them, idiots.
So yeah. So basically, those are pretty kind of like worthwhile things to have on the classroom wall. So if you take away the fact that it's, you know, any sort of religious basis to it, then...
You know what kids are like.
Yeah, that's fine. I agree with that.
You know what kids are like, though? If you put rules down, they tend to like to break them.
So then go around on a murder spree.
Yeah. I'm going to sleep with animals.
It's not. It does it. It's like covet thy neighbour's ox, isn't it? Or covet thy neighbour's...
Yeah, it's basically not sleep with you.
No, it's not. Stock. It's basically saying don't, like, you know, don't thingy what you... You know, when they say keeping up with the Joneses or kind of looking, the grass is greener on the other side. By coveting what your neighbour's got, you're kind of, like, envious, you're jealous. That's what the way I see it. It's not... coveting your neighbour's sheep or going and defiling them.
Yeah.
It's not kind of like being jealous of what they've got and kind of being content with what you have in life. Do you know what I mean?
But we have got people who do that.
So
you know,
what I mean? So you know, well, they're going to hell, aren't they?
Yeah, you know what I mean.
So that I don't mind. Ten Commandments in the classroom.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna lead to kind of loads of kids going, no, I'm rebelling against these 10 things
I'll tell you what,
my way of life.
I bet one or two do. I'll try it.
Well, I'll give you the next story. Come on. Wow me.
All right, then. Do you know what Rihanna's and AC Rocky's baby's called?
I do know this, and I actually guessed. It was a guess, 100% guess, and I totally guessed it right.
You did.
They did say it had Wu-Tang connections.
Oh, it did.
And then straight away, I went, they've obviously called the kid RZA.
is. That's right.
And that is would be right, wouldn't yeah, it? So it would well be. Done them for actually picking a pretty cool name for the child, and not calling it after a piece of fruit.
You know what? I was just thinking of that.
Oh, bless a little pineapple.
Yeah, or apple.
Oh, banana, whatever you want. Fruit salad.
Ain't going to be long till
it's all
happens.
About guac.
It really ain't.
It's all about the guac nowadays, isn't it? The kids are into the guac, so I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they called the kid guac. In fact, there was a guy called guac.
Is there?
Yeah, guac Juan.
Oh, yeah. That's
Do you
true.
Reckon he was named after guacamole? I don't know, maybe.
Oh, well, hey, yeah.
The hilarious life that he leads. Anyway. Give us some news.
All right, then. Right, this is mainly for England.
the place we are in.
Yeah.
Considering most of our stories tonight have been like Louisiana, Mississippi,
we've got some British
Utah,
news.
Yeah. Oh, the heartland.
Yeah. Not good news, but we've got some British
news. Come on, give
news.
Us some British news.
Right, well, Parliament have put a bill through, and it's actually in the House of Lords now being sent through and checked over, which will stop any crypto messaging and any VPNs working in this country. Basically, we will have to turn everything off on securing.
In other words, you can't pretend you're anywhere else where unless you were there, or you know, because I say, like, could you use that as an alibi? It was like, oh, I was in the Philippines that week. I've got internet stuff that'll back it up.
Yeah, but if I start making up a language to send messages to someone else which knows that language.
Well, no, you shouldn't be sending coded messages, because sending coded encrypted messages suggests that you're hiding something, and then, you know, the government take interest in that shit.
So it's right then to the government to check every single detail of your life. Because that's basically what it will be.
Well, there you go. Then you're basically... Well, of course he will, because that's the point, isn't it? They'll go, right, why are they doing this? We want to know who this person is.
Yeah, they don't have the right for that.
Are they a threat to national security? That's what they do. Unfortunately, in this situation, if it's like under all these terrorism rigmarole and stuff, they will just turn around and say... We've totally got the right to. We don't even have to charge you. We can keep you under observation. We can keep you detained for like a few fucking years in Guantanamo Bay.
Well, that's true.
So
that's true.
Don't worry about what they can and can't do, because they'll find a nature. Well, finds a way.
Oh yeah, but it's going to be basically illegal to do that, which.
Having a VPN, most people use it just to like watch a movie on Netflix in a different country. It's like, because they've not got it on English one or whatever.
That's true.
And that's how they sell the VPNs. They go, oh, mate, are you tired of watching Netflix and not having the movies that America have got? And you could pretend to be in America and watch. And that's how they sell VPNs.
If
there's any VPN companies listening who would like us to promote your VPNs, we'll get on that. Do you know? Because obviously, if we're trying to pass a law,
especially with this coming up,
super duper.
Fuck that.
Money's.
If I want to create a new language, I will.
A computer. All right, he's going to create a new language, and then we'll see what happens with that. Dalek. We'll get arrested. Right. Okay. So. I found this story. This is more innovation than anything. I feel like this guy, he's won the hearts and minds of millions with his invention. It's a Minnesota man. I've got a lot of love for Minnesota. The Minnesota inventor who has gained following and a lot of interest in his unusual vehicle. Yeah, he's created... A beer-powered motorcycle.
Oh, sweet.
Gone
to the pub to get a beer and a beer.
Now, I've got questions. Yeah, so Kyle McAllison, who previously invented lots of stuff, including rocket-powered toilets and jet-powered coffee pots.
Oh, shit.
This is a beer-powered motorcycle. Now, he's obviously driving under the influence.
Yeah, well, the car is.
Oh, I saw a little smirk then. That was fun. That was a good one. Yeah, no, he's driving. He's definitely driving under the influence because his car's powered by alcohol. So, therefore, he's driving under the influence of alcohol at all times. Right, So, I mean, should he be done for DUIs? No, I like the idea. I think this is genius. Yeah, right. Especially in this day and age where petrol and fuel is rocketing in price.
True, but I don't think it's going to be on the road for a while. To be honest, I reckon they're going to end up taking it off it.
It takes it can hold a 14-gallon keg.
Yeah.
It basically has a heating coil instead of a gas-powered engine. So it's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it just heat the beer up till it kind of like
expands
the gases and you know, like the idea.
Yeah, it's a good.
The coil heats the beer up to 300 degrees, which becomes superheated steam, and then propels the bike forward. So the price of gas is getting up there. So obviously, he says he doesn't drink much. He says, I'm not a big drinker, but beer's cheaper than petrol.
You're not wrong. But for how much longer? Because if everyone decides to go with his process, beer's going to be a fucking pain in the ass.
Well,
like
I said, you can brew your own beer. That's the thing.
That's true, yeah.
You can brew your own beer.
Yeah.
I mean, would it work with carbonated drinks? I mean, would it work with Coca-Cola or like any other fizzy pop or something? I mean, I've got to assume it would, he reckons that his bike can reach speeds of up to 150 miles an hour.
What?
Serious, yeah. So he's actually taking it out to a drag strip sometime soon to test its capabilities.
Oh.
This guy's my hero.
He's a fucking... He's going to end up in hospital.
I like this guy. Mikkel Michelsen. Yeah, that's Kel Michelsen. So, yeah, he's an absolute genius, in my opinion. Innovator of the year. Warning from Kansas officials. I need to slip this in.
Okay.
They said, please do not use guns to fish.
Yeah, use hand grenades.
True, this. They've basically had a lot of people using, what was it? Like 9mm handguns. Taking them fishing in the Garden City of Kansas. It's not on. Yeah, a rod like everybody else.
Or
you know what I mean? Trying
like
to use the easy way of shooting fish.
Don't forget to take your pin home.
It's hardly fishing, is it?
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, but it's easy, quick fishing, isn't it?
All right, well. Have you got any more news?
Yeah. I have. England is now going to spend 2.5 billion fund for quantum computer software technology systems that we want to get into.
Who is?
The UK.
Have they not got any?
They have spent, what was it, about 12 million a couple of years ago, but like this is
a quantum computer, Daddy. I want a quantum computer now.
I do, and
it's like, wait a minute. So they're quickly. Like, you know, we were investing a load of money in you know, an idea. So, you know, that's nice.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like, if you were a computer developer, who's developing these quantum computers?
Well, this is where it's going to be all developed, the software and the actual...
We're going to do it.
Yeah.
We're investing in building our own, essentially.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's like in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you know, like when they invent deep thought, which is like the ultimate computer to answer the ultimate question. And it's like, this is what it's going to come down to. They're going to ask it like the biggest questions, and these computers are just going to go, going to have a bit of time to think about this. And we're going to be like running these programs for years.
Centuries
to get these answers. Yeah. So, you know, potentially it's not going to be in our lifetime.
True, but maybe. I still think...
And computing power is going to be like totally eclipsing what we can do now.
Yeah.
In that
with
time. So,
yeah,
you know.
I think it's just a... It's a dangerous area as well. I mean...
Of course it is. The way more brighter than me are you. Toasters more.
Yeah. Well, only takes one mistake, doesn't it, to bring
and then you've got
down.
Burnt toast.
Yeah. Which exactly. I don't mind a bit of burnt toast, actually, I must admit.
Yeah, scrape it off.
Oh, no. Gives it that crunch.
And that smell.
Yeah. Yeah, that smells hot, mint.
How would you like to live under the sea?
Yeah, I'd
like to be...
Only if I've got a submarine, so I can...
Under the sea.
Go shopping in that.
Well, this is another guy. Well, this guy, yeah, right.
Would you?
I wouldn't live up under the sea. Fuck the sea.
Why?
I told you I don't like the sea. It's not a friend. Creatures down there.
Creatures up here?
Crazy creatures. Yeah, but they all live in hedges and in burrows and stuff. Don't see them. I mean, I don't see the ones in the sea, and I quite like to keep it that way. At the end of the day, I can escape land animals way easier than I can escape water animals. Yeah.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but that's why I need a submarine. You know,
nowhere
mate?
To go. Right. Yeah. So well, this guy's he's been actually living underwater in a special underwater house with portholes, which he does have to keep closed. Yeah.
Wow,
right.
Yeah.
Because it'd all be fucked up. He's living 30 foot deep under a lagoon.
Ah.
Yeah, in Key Largo.
30 feet as well, that's
yeah,
that's not
bad. So basically he's won one of those you know, records.
Oh right, Guinness Book of Records.
Sound like Jonathan Watts.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that.
Big Guinness Book of Records. Yeah.
Records.
For longest time underwater. longest he's basically called Mr. Deep Sea. He's been living under the water on a protein heavy diet of eggs and salmon.
Oh, I bet it stinks down there.
Prepared using he's microwaving salmon in a underwater bell jar.
And you know what your farts smell like.
Everybody knows what it's like when they're in the office and some idiot brings fish in and puts it in the microwave.
Or an egg.
Stinks the fucking office out for 9 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah.
You know
You're
who
welcome.
You are.
You're welcome.
You fucking idiot. Yeah, so this guy's been, obviously chilling under the water of Key West. In a little lodge for scuba
nice
diving. He spent 74 days.
I wouldn't mind going there.
Under there. What, Key West?
Key West, yeah.
Tropical.
Yeah.
It sounds like, nice, does it? Is it nice?
Yeah.
I'll have to have a
Google. From what I've seen, it looks a nice place, and then I could go and visit him and knock on his door. Yo, son,
The underwater fella?
Yeah, what cup of tea,
you'll
mate?
Have to swim under.
Yeah, that's all.
And
right.
The place will just stink of salmon.
Oh, well, I'll make sure I have some eggs before I get in there.
Right, all right. Well, I've got this last story before we get into NASA news. Have you got anything else you'd like to talk about?
Nah, you're right.
This is this is weird one, this one, right? Yeah.
Okay.
And we had a bit of a chat about this one before we started the show, but this is an ice cream seller. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who's pitched up outside Auschwitz.
Oh, is that bad or good?
Well, this is the thing, yeah. Well, I mean, they've taken real offence to it, which I understand, totally agree.
Totally.
Yeah, right, of his location. The stall with pink logo placed 200 metres away from the landmark structures, of the notorious camp where the Nazis murdered fucking millions.
Millions, yeah.
They've pitched up an ice cream stall, yeah. And there's obviously been like a lot of people
wanting
kicking
ice cream
off about it, but there's a lot of people wanting ice cream.
Yeah.
Is it a contrast? Is it the contrast, or is it the opportunity that they're taking, that people are taking offence to? They've got a stand there which basically has a lot of pink logos, and they even have signs that say waffles and ice cream.
Man.
I mean, this is hitting the news. I mean,
I
mean, I can understand where
I think
people are coming from. I feel like it is a historical site, but like a lot of historical sites, there is some sort of
entertainment.
It's
kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But this is the thing. It's like, you know, you go to Stonehenge and there might be like an ice cream van there or a gift shop.
Yeah, but that ain't a slot.
You don't go.
Place,
yeah, exactly. You don't go to Auschwitz and expect to see a gift shop.
It's like putting an ice cream van.
And I'd be offended if there was a gift shop there.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Selling trinkets and shit that were related to the fucking disaster. Get your t-shirts and all that.
Yeah,
that would be really
yeah.
poor taste.
Yeah, it's like an ice cream van outside of
there's
a
one
graveyard.
Thing seeing it, and appreciating the history or like understanding the history or opening your eyes to
what
so this sort of stuff doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
It's sort of business opportunity.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, this is the thing. And it's a business opportunity that this guy's obviously thought, well, there's a lot of tourists passing by. I want to take advantage of that passing trade.
Yeah.
So the difference between it, you've just said there, yeah, right. Yeah. What if there was a flower shop?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And you were taking those flowers and putting them at the gates. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Would you feel the same way as you did about the ice cream shop? Knowing that they're still capitalizing on the passing trade, knowing that, you know, you don't need to take flowers, but it's nice. Do you know what I mean?
True, but I think it's more of like the flowers is like, I'm giving to the dead person.
Yeah, you get that. Yeah, because you it's a memorial, or you're putting down something.
Ice cream there, though.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. But in the same logic, they're still thinking, well, there's so much passing trade there. I'm still a flower seller.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to sell flowers. Where can I sell flowers? Now, if that was a flower seller, I wonder whether the locals would be against it.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder what people would say about this.
To be honest, there shouldn't be anything there. It should be left as it is and, look after the place.
100%. I think it should be removed, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, the local council help him find a more suitable location for it.
Yeah, maybe the car park down the road or something.
They might suggest another area where it's more suitable, where, like, they'll get just as much passing trade.
Yeah, yeah.
Another sort of family entertainment area that they've not thought of, maybe. Do you know what I mean? See what happens, but I think they do really need to be moved on. They can't really stay there, can they?
No,
so,
totally.
There we go. NASA news. There's been some UFO sightings.
Oh, has there?
Yeah, we obviously saw there was a UFO sighting at the Charlie's coronation.
Yeah.
But
I still haven't seen that.
Have you not seen it?
No,
it was during the flyover. So we'll Google that. We'll get the video up in a bit. Right, do you know it was Eurovision?
Yes, it was.
This was like last year. Sam Ryder, wasn't he? England's choice for
champion.
But he's come out and said, obviously he was last year's near winner.
Yeah.
But he said basically, Spaceman only came to him after he had a UFO experience, and that's why he wrote the song.
Really?
Yeah, because he saw a UFO.
Good lads. We need to spread the news, man.
Spreading the news of the space, man.
Spread the truth and we need to get it sorted.
Poland thought they've just had a UFO encounter.
All right, okay.
Witnessed by several people, quite a lot of people. Poland's defense ministry on Saturday said that there was an unidentified flying object above Polish airspace. They've had a look into it and they found that they think it's a balloon. Belarus. Belarusian balloon.
Chinese are spying over you.
But there is an investigation still underway to establish what it is.
And we know if it's not.
So Poland, which is obviously a member of NATO, obviously like, wait a minute.
Yeah, we're doing
which
our
is
space,
sending
man,
stuff on our space. What are you doing? We're in NATO. Yeah. Listen, you can't do that. We'll get my mates on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So investigations are taking place. The object was discovered when it blipped on the radar for a while and then disappeared. And they went, ooh, what's that? UFO.
Well, yeah, but then errors and stuff like that we've got to look into. I suppose it depends on the investigation, if it's going to be a true investigation or just an investigation to go, right, let's fob these off.
Got any spacey UFO-y news?
I have. We were talking about this before. On Secure Team brought out a brilliant video of a...
Haunting. As Tyler described it, as haunting it was.
Yeah, it was... It's got to be one of the best videos out there, I must admit.
I mean, yeah, I would agree with you, because, I mean, when I watched it, I was quite impressed. It was taken from the cockpit of a commercial airliner.
Yeah.
The video shows a UFO screaming past the plane.
Yeah.
Almost in a teardrop sort of formation.
Yeah.
The shape of it. Do you know, again, I always go back to this Flight of the Navigator shape of the craft. And what
it, it's been on.
I'll
the,
be honest, yeah.
Change shapes.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. I'll be honest with you. What really kind of got me about that film when I first watched it as a kid was the dynamics of the ship. And how it changed shape depending on the speed it was going doing. And what it was doing.
Yeah.
So when it was kind of hovering in like sort of, it holds up still today, that
film. Yeah, I watched it not
but
that long ago.
When it's kind of going, right, we're warping out now, we're going into hyperspeed, it turns into a more of a liquid teardrop sort of shape. And this is what kind of looked this hard, and this is what I was getting at earlier with the Glocken. You know, some people might look up and see a UFO saucer, but depending on what angle you're on and the perspective you're looking at it from, you might see it on an angle which gives it a bell shape.
Yeah.
You might see it going at speed which gives it a cigar shape because you see in a blur with trails which gives it a lengthened perspective.
Yeah,
you know, all
these
all these different shapes that get you know, thrown out as UFOs, even down to triangle shapes, going at speed would look more like a streak than a triangular object.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we get descriptions of UFOs, but they all kind of boil down to the very similar things in the sky. You know, and it's just our descriptive ways of kind of rationalizing it.
I'd say there's several,
and,
but then there's changes.
Perspective on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Each one have got the different changes, I think. I mean, there's ones with, like, little balls that, like, seem to hold things together. And it's there is a lot of weird shapes and like, indications. But then there are certain forms that stand out and don't move, like the triangle, the tic-tac.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, like, the main thing is people who have observed these crafts have said they move like unlike anything they've ever seen.
Yeah.
They move like...
they couldn't even...
do you know, in comparison to kind of like what we have here on Earth and, you know, pilots that are able to fly at these breakneck Gs and, you know, be able to withstand...
Well,
you
if
know,
anyone else knows how to do it, that without this technology.
I mean, the only way that I could possibly think they'd do this now would be pilotless, So we're able to get to those speeds.
Now we can.
But with drone technology.
Yeah, but so you still couldn't do the turning.
It's about Well, you might be able to because how you can pilot a drone way more. There's way more maneuverability in a drone than there is in a commercial airliner, for instance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Or even an F1.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can turn and they can flip and they can do all this stuff. Yeah. But side maneuverability, like doing kind of like turns on a dime. Yeah, drones smash that out of the air. They helicopters are the same because they're propeller driven. They're able to turn, like you know, yaw.
Yeah.
They're able to yaw, right? Yeah. So when they do that, they're moving in thin air. They're moving in that single space rather than having to do a maneuver to turn right the way around, which is a capability F1s have never been able to do. So when they're flying against these. You know, crafts that are able to go whip, 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 and doing maneuvers that they can't do, it's because they've not got the turning circle, if you like. Yeah. So the way I see it is, you know, in this day and age, I think like with the technology that we don't know we've even got, which military are using,
way ahead
drone technology in terms of like what they can do, they've probably got crafts that are able to fucking fly as fast as our best, you know, jets and maneuver as crazy as a drone or a UFO now, but we just won't see them yet.
Well, yeah, we won't. Won't know because it's the I can't remember what it's called, but there's an effect of every year technology for us goes up 2%, but for the military it goes up 40%. This is from Ben Rich, who was running Skunk Works. Before he died, he mentioned this kind of stuff, and it was like you just would not believe what technology we have now. But it still doesn't answer the questions for what has happened in the past, if you know what I mean. So there is a lot in the past to say that these machines were out here before we even got involved or even...
Well, that's what I was saying about, like, here. You know, in terms of, like, that Glocken earlier, you know, we say, oh, well, they had it, and then it turned up here and turned up there.
Yeah.
That kind of makes you think that it's something that we've got access to as a species rather than... then again, how did we get this technology? Because it's way ahead of the technology that we've ever had before. Yeah. But then again, you know, how technology's come so far in such a small time.
Yeah,
fiber optic communications and, you know, the microchip and all these things that would never even... Silicon chips and stuff that we never thought of. But, you know, the commonplace now. How much technology have we taken from unknown sources, implemented it into our everyday life? Do you know?
Well, yeah, I know of a few supposedly, but I reckon there's a lot more than we really suspect.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, that's the end of the show, I think. I think we've covered everything. Have you got anything else to add?
No. Oh, yeah, a meteorite, actually.
Go for it. Yeah, this is cool.
4.5 billion year old meteorite landed in someone's bedroom in New Jersey Monday night.
So what, it just whistled through the bedroom window or whatever?
No, straight through the roof. Straight through the roof. Yeah, and it was warm when they were actually a couple hours.
I've seen, like, you know, horror movies start this way where it crack open and some, like, you know, some sludge.
Slime comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creeps over someone's face.
Hey, but that could be a serious effect in, you know, if it, like, what is it?
That could really happen.
Per day, over a...
You'll see that on those daytime TV adverts. It'll be like, do you realise 50 million people have been turned into sludge? With only £2 a week, you can help them...
You've got some money in that,
get them a bucket to live in.
Fuck it, I'm flogging it. It's got some money. But over 100 billion waste and dust and everything from outside our atmosphere come into Earth. Yeah. Every single day.
It's called space crap.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah, we're always getting bombarded with the little meteorites and stuff. You just don't know when they're going to hit. It's like winning the lottery, isn't it?
Well,
it's one of those.
It's hard
if you are lucky enough to find a meteorite.
Oh, riches. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, so we're
thinking... To a certain degree.
Well, another thing, we're thinking of maybe setting up a P.O. box address. Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, let us know if that's a good idea, if you maybe want to send us something or send us something... We were thinking of maybe doing like an opening of stuff on the show. Let us know if that might be something that you'd be interested in. You can subscribe on all the usual podcast platforms. You can go over to the website at neverastraightanswer.co.uk, where we have lots of valuable information and downloadable episodes, videos, blogs, news articles, and more. It's a very cool site. Go and check it out.
It certainly is.
We're available on YouTube as well, so make sure you subscribe.
Yeah,
Daddy wants a play button. He's hanging on his wall. So come on, subscribe to us and get us up there. We want to be able to monetize this shit.
Yeah.
We've only been doing it 5 years. It's all good.
It is.
Anyway, you know. We'll be back next week.
We will.
And for another exciting episode. Hope you've enjoyed this week and we'll see you soon. I've been Gaz.
I've been Taylor.
We've been the Never Straight Answer Podcast. Peace.
Out.